sometimes when I hear this profound and beautiful passage where Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" I'm reminded of the incident, or that moment when Pope Francis was here in the Manila Cathedral. You know this story. I think I've shared this before. So Pope Francis comes to the Philippines, and he goes into the Manila Cathedral for a high mass, and everybody's seated there, all the bishops and all the clergy and the nuns, and everybody's, it's a very solemn moment, and music comes in, and then the liturgy begins. Probably a deacon read the gospel, and then the Pope stands up to do the homily, and he starts by quoting this gospel, "Do you love me?" And the people spontaneously say, "Yes." all the people in the cathedral, "Yes." And the Pope says, "Oh, well, thank you very much. But I was just reading from the gospel." So what the Pope intended as a reflection on Jesus asking Peter, the congregation interpreted as an opportunity to express their love for the Pope. So it was a very funny moment. Well, here we are. It's a beautiful time in the liturgy. You know, we're in this period we could call Ascension Tide, between Ascension and Pentecost. And reading the daily Gospels, we have been reading for weeks now from the passages of John's Gospel, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples or praying to the Father at the Last Supper. And all of a sudden, from between yesterday and today, there's this shift. Yesterday we were at the Last Supper, we were in John chapter 17. Today we go to the resurrection appearance of Jesus on the lakeshore, John 21. And we know what happened between John 17 and John 21. Jesus is arrested, he undergoes his whole passion, he's crucified, he dies, he's buried. On the third day he rises again and he appears to the disciples. And then we have this today's reading. So it's a little bit funny, but if you follow the development of the liturgy, I think you'll be able to see the beauty of it. Jesus' apparition or appearance on the lakeshore was one of the gospels that we pondered in the Easter octave, the very first week of Easter. I think we got to the point where Jesus appears on the shore, and the apostles are in the boat, and he says, "Well, try the other side, putting your net on the other side," and they get so many fish. And then Peter jumps into the water. Remember that passage? And then when they get there, Jesus has already prepared a breakfast for them. So, and then suddenly we stop. We don't finish the story. Then on Friday of the Easter octave, we read it. Then on Saturday of the Easter octave, we read from some other gospel. And we don't pick it up again until today. It's almost at the end of Easter, just today and tomorrow, our last chance to read about the apparition appearances, or the resurrection appearances. But if you know the development that we've been watching the past few days, you'll see how striking this is. Yesterday, in yesterday's gospel, Jesus was praying to the Father, and he was speaking about the divine plan that we be included in the communion of love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You might remember some of these striking lines from yesterday's gospel. Jesus says to the Father that he prays that they may be one, that may the disciples be one in us and one in me and in you, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. So the Father loves us even as he loves his Son, which is quite a profound thing to reflect on. The love between the Father and the Son is applied to us now, the body of Christ. And then he speaks about how the Father loved him from the foundation of the world, means he also loved us from the foundation of the world. And then he says, I sent them as you sent me, and I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So the love of the Father for the Son will be in us. Okay, now I know that's kind of a difficult But it's all about love, obviously. It's about love. It's about the divine love shared with us. Now, the reason why I bring that up again is because in today's reading, it's all about love again. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And we can start to see the connection between divine love and human love, or love of God and love of neighbor, which is essential for a Christian life. Do you love me? It's quite a thing to ask. It's a very personal, intimate question. You don't ask people this every day. Do you love me? In fact, it's very rare. Maybe you ask, if you want to get married, you might ask the person that you're thinking about marrying, "Do you love me?" I can't think of any other examples right now. Maybe there are other cases when people say, "Do you love me?" But that's about it. In other words, this is a very intimate moment. And Jesus says it three times. Do you love me? The fathers of the church like to point out that Peter denied Christ three times. I know St. Augustine has a lot of writings on this. Peter denied Christ three times. And this three times question, "Do you love me?" gives Peter an opportunity to reverse his denials. Maybe so. Maybe that's really what's going on here. But if that were in Peter's mind, he would be happy to be able to say, "I love you," three times. But in fact, he gets a little bit disturbed that Jesus keeps asking him this. "Well, you know already. Don't you know already?" He's distressed that Jesus asked him three times. So maybe Peter's not thinking about his three denials. Or maybe he's concerned that he can't overcome those denials. But that's not in Jesus' mind. Jesus knows that Peter loves him. Most of the scripture scholars would say this is one of the cases where a repetition three times is for emphasis. And this happens many times in the Bible. When something is said three times, it's really emphasized. It builds up to a kind of like a crescendo. Now, what we can get from this, one of the many things we can get from this, is the nature of the love of God, the nature of our love for God, and how we express that love. When Jesus says, "Do you love me?" and Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Jesus does not then say, "And I love you too," which is kind of what we would say. "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, I love you." "Oh, I love you." That's kind of how it goes. When someone expresses love, you say, "Well, I love you too." But that's not what Jesus says. No, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." As if to say, your love for me is expressed by the care that you give to my sheep. So, and I think this is something for us to realize, that if we're going to talk about loving God, and we're all here because we love God, well then our love for God has to be somehow put into practice by our love for others. Otherwise, there's something not quite authentic about it. It might just be words. It's easy to say, "I love God." Nobody can see him. Nobody knows if it's really true. But if we love others, if we feed others, if we take care of others, that's an authentic expression of love for God. So one of the lessons here is that love of God is expressed in love of neighbor. Maybe there's three questions. Do you love me? Because God is three persons. We love the Father, we love the Son, we love the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we express love for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? By loving others. Putting ourselves at the service of others, making a gift of ourselves to others. Then, after that's clear, Jesus takes another step and says, well, if you love me, he doesn't say it this way, I'm interpreting it this way. If you love me, not only will you feed my sheep or take care of my sheep, you will also experience being taken and having to and being led where you would rather not go. So this is an indication, it says here, of the kind of death that Peter's going to suffer, his martyrdom. He will be arrested, he will be bound, he will be martyred. This is also connected to our love for God. Love is always directed toward the good of the other. And the greatest love is the love that is the most selfless gift. That's why Jesus says, greater love no man has than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the kind of love Jesus says Peter is going to be able to offer. You will be able to make the greatest love by laying down your life, going where you would rather not go. Then he makes one further point. Now, I hope I'm not making this too complicated, because it's really very beautiful, this conversation about love. His first point is that if you love God, you love the sheep, you love his people. Don't separate love of God and love of neighbor. The second point is that love involves sacrifice. Love involves this emptying of self, this gift of self, to the point of laying down your life. And then the third thing he says is, follow me. That too is love. It's all love. God is all love. So to love God, we love others. To love God, we lay down our lives. To love God is to follow him. This is what happens, this is what is said so often in the New Testament. To love is to follow the commandments. To love God is to obey the commandments. To love God is to follow the way that he has set forth for us. Follow me. It's all summed up in these two words of Jesus. Follow me. Now, it's hard to follow Jesus. It's hard to love. It's hard to love God. It's even harder to love our neighbor. It's hard to lay down our lives. How can we do it? The Holy Spirit. We're in our novena to the Holy Spirit. We're praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be reawakened in us. And this gives us confidence that we can actually do this. Because like Peter, we're weak and sinful. Like Peter, if we're put to too much of the test and we're left on our own, we'll deny Jesus. That's what sin is. So like Peter, we're on the verge of collapse pretty much all the time, on our own. But with the Holy Spirit, no. The Holy Spirit is divine love. The Holy Spirit is divine strength. So with the Holy Spirit, it's possible for us to love. It's possible for us to make a gift of ourselves. It's possible for us to follow Jesus every day. So with that confidence in the Holy Spirit, we continue this journey through Easter, looking forward to Pentecost on Sunday, knowing that it's all God's gift to us, but we have to keep saying yes to his gift and following as he leads us.